Our scripture reading tonight comes from Genesis 18, 16 through 33. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. The word of the Lord.
When I was a kid, every day after school, me and my brother Mike, we would run into the house and change our clothes. See, this was a long time ago when kids would have what they called school clothes that you were only allowed to wear to school, and then you had play clothes that you had to change into after school to then play in. Anyway, when I was a kid, every day after school, me and my brother Mike would run into the house and change out of our school clothes and into our play clothes as fast as we could, and then we would run outside to the front yard. We ran because all the other kids on the block were running into their houses and changing out of their school clothes and into their play clothes and then running to our front yard too. That's where all the kids on the block would meet to play, and we all ran because the first person there got to choose which game we were going to play. It seemed like a really big deal to get to choose what game we were going to play, even though there were only like 3 games that we ever played. Kick the can, which was kind of like hide and seek, but there was a can, and it was in the middle of the yard, and the person that was it would kind of like guard the can and then try to find the other kids and tag them, and then all the other kids that were hiding would try to run from their hiding place and kick the can, and then everybody would be free, and the person would have to be it again. And then we would play sardines, which is kind of like hide and seek, but it's hide and seek in reverse. Like the person who is it ran and hid, and then everyone else would have to find them. And if you found that person, then you hid with them until only one person was left. And then my favorite game, which was frozen tag, and which was nothing at all like hide and seek. It was like tag, but you got tag. But when you got tagged by the person that was it, you were frozen. And when it was my turn to choose the game, I always chose a version of frozen tag called under the legs frozen tag, which meant if somebody froze you, somebody could run up to you and then crawl through your legs, and you would become unfrozen. But it didn't happen that often that I got to choose which game we played. First of all, because my brother Mike always beat me to the front yard, and even if I was going to beat him and I was going to get out the front door first, he would grab me by the collar and pull me back and go out in front of me. But even if I did really beat him and got to the front yard first, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter because no matter how fast we changed into our play clothes and got to the front yard, Jenny Banny was always there, with her arms crossed, tapping one foot, looking bored, like, "I've been here for a long time. What took you?" Jenny Banny always liked to play sardines. And if she was bored of that, then she would play kick the can. So this one day, Jenny Banny got to the front yard first, surprise. And she was bored of playing sardines, and she said that she was even bored of playing kick the can. But we were going to play kick the can because Jenny Banny said that frozen tag, and especially under the legs frozen tag, those were games for babies. And Jay Branel and Paul Tuschow said, "Yeah, those are baby games." And so we had to play kick the can. And Jenny Banny said that Donnie McCann had to be it. And he said, you have to start out by being it, because you chose the game, which is how we always played. That's how we always played the game. But Jenny Banny said no, that she got to choose who was it, because she was there first, and it didn't make sense that if she was the chooser, that she would have to be it. She crossed her arms like a grown-up and said, "I get to say the rules because I was here first." And some other kids, and even me and my brother, said, no, that's no fair, no fair. But Jay Brandel and Paul Tuschow said it was too fair, because sometimes they did get there before Jenny Banny, and they wanted to be able to make up the rules. So we played, and Donnie McCann had to be it. And then you couldn't believe it, but almost everyone had been tagged, because it turned out that Donnie McCann was actually really good at being it in Kick the Can. There were only three kids left, and one of them was Jenny Banny. And she ran really fast from her hiding place, and Donnie saw her, and he ran really fast. And right as she was going to kick the can, Donnie tagged her. Jenny was mad. She was mad, and she said, "Everyone is free. You have to be get it again, Donnie." And Donnie said, "No way, I tagged you." And she said, "Yeah, but you tagged me after I had already started to kick the can." "But I tagged you before you actually kicked the can," Donnie said. And she said, "It doesn't matter because I already started swinging my leg." And he said, "That's not the rules." And Jenny Banny said, "It is too. It's my rules, and we have to play by my rules, because I was the first one here." You cannot believe how this declaration changed everything. Like, the whole speed it took kids to change into their play clothes went up like 1,000 times faster. Everyone wanted to be the one who got to say the rules. I don't even know how the kids did it. Paul Tuschow and Jeff Martinez put their play clothes right by their back doors, so they didn't even need to go up to their rooms. And they just left their school clothes right on the floor by their back door. People started beating Jenny Banny like 3 times a week, even though Don Albertson said that Jenny Banny wore her play clothes under her school clothes and just took off her school clothes in the garage. You'd think it would be good that other kids got there first, and it wasn't always Jenny Banny. It wasn't always Jenny Banny saying the rules. But when the other kids got a turn, they wanted revenge. Everyone started making up harder and harder rules. And rules like you had to call them Your Majesty. Or before you could play, you had to get them a drink of water. Or you had to touch every one of the cobblestones on the Kruger's walkway with your nose. And pretty soon, we didn't even play any games at all. We just called it playing the rules. And we used to call the person who got there first the person who got to decide what game to play. And then we started calling them the person who gets to say the rules. And you'd think someone would just say, "No way, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to crawl all the way across the street on my stomach." No. But you couldn't, because one of the rules Donnie McCann made up was if you didn't follow the rules, you couldn't play for 3 days. And then everyone said that that should be a permanent rule. And so it was. And then when it was her turn, one time Jenny Banny said, if you didn't follow the rules, not only could you not play for 3 days, but you had to go through the spanking machine. Which, I don't know if you've ever done it, you know, it's all these kids, they get up in a line with their legs apart, and one kid had to crawl under everyone's legs while everybody spanks them as they're crawling under, and they spank really hard. And one time, Jeff Martinez's little brother John started crying because it hurt him so much. So no one wanted to break a rule because they were afraid that if they went through the spanking machine, they might cry too, and cry in front of everyone, and everyone would call them a baby for like a year. So when everybody came to our front yard to play the rules, it was like taking a test at school, and no one had any fun, and no one yelled or goofed around. Everyone just was silent and scared and listened really carefully, because another permanent rule was that even if you didn't hear a rule or weren't there when a rule was said, you still had to follow it. So every day after school, everyone ran to our front yard, and everyone just did whatever the person who said the rules told them to do in silence, like they were already in trouble. Until this one day, by the time I got there, everyone was standing around saying something like, "Oh, that's cool," or "That's gross," or "Don't touch it, don't touch it." And when I went over to see what everybody was looking at, I saw a dead crow. Right in our front yard, a dead crow. But before I could really get a good look at it, Jenny Banny yelled, "Everyone sit on the curb right now." And we had to, because she was saying the rules. But everyone wanted to see the crow more, because you don't get to see a really big dead crow very often. We sat down and Jenny said, after everything she said, we had to say, "You're the greatest, my queen." And so not only did we get tricked, she said that this rule was that everyone had to quickly yell that she was the greatest. And then she said everyone had to make their hands into fists and then sit on their fists on the curb for 10 minutes. And no one could talk after they said, "You're the greatest." Now, I don't know if you ever made your hands into a fist and then sat on them on the stone curb, but it really hurts. And 10 minutes is like a really long time. And then you didn't say a word for all that long time. But we were doing it. We were doing it. It seemed like we'd been doing it for like an hour when Jenny yelled, 8 more minutes. 8 more minutes. I didn't know if I could make it. And just then, I couldn't believe it. Don Anderson stood up, and you could see that she had a tear in her eyes. Nobody had ever broken a rule on purpose. Everyone was stunned, even Jenny Banny. Don Anderson walked onto our front lawn and over to the dead crow, and she bent down, and she picked it up, and she held it out in front of her in her two hands with its head facing us and said, "I'm going to say a rule." And Jenny Banny yelled, "You can't say a rule. You can't say a rule. Everyone get in line. It's time to make a spanking machine." She didn't obey. But no one moved because they couldn't believe what was going on. Don ignored Jenny. Don Anderson said that this is the rule. Everyone who kisses the crow is free from all rules forever. And she turned it towards her, and she kissed it. And then she got the biggest smile on her face. It was like true. You could tell by the smile on her face that she was free. And it was that smile, I think, that got all the people, because they all, one by one, lined up, and they kissed the crow. And at the end of the line, even Jenny Banny kissed the crow. And when she did, everyone cheered and started running around and wrestling and stuff. And then, without anyone being the decider, the kids, we all just started playing tag. And someone yelled, "Let's play tag." And everyone must have been thinking the same thing, because everybody at the exact same time yelled out, "Not it."